continuing a mitzvah Shin Lamed Tes, which is the mitzvah that one should not sell land in Eretz Yisrael with a permanent sale, which would attempt to undermine the institution of the Yovel, the Jubilee year, in which all land is supposed to go back to the owner, the original owner, who has it, Birusha, who has it as the inheritance in the proper tribe and the proper area.
But we don't even know what that is.
Nowadays, we don't exactly know, right? That's why the Yovel is inoperable, hasn't been operable for a very long time, because the tribes haven't been living in the proper places. So this mitzvah is not currently relevant, but we hope it'll become relevant very soon, so pay close attention.
And it only applies to fields, to actual property, not to houses or...
Excellent question, which is just about to be addressed by the Sefer HaChinuch. V'chiluk batim misad misados. What about...
Where are you reading?
It's in the middle of Mitzvah Shin Lamed Tes. V'chiluk batim misados. So there's a difference between houses and fields. So up until now, we basically only addressed the concept of fields. So far kosavnu lemala bimakomo dinam. So again, he says he addressed it already, but in our order of the Sefer Chinuch, he did not address it already, because the order that we're learning the Sefer Chinuch in is different from the original order. Kibate hachatzerim dinam kisde achuza. So that's why it's going to be a little confusing, because he's going to tell you certain things now that he should have already told you before, but in our reckoning and what we've learned in the Sefer Chinuch, so he hasn't quite told us yet, so I have to fill in the gaps a little bit. So there is a difference between houses and fields. So the houses, they're in a walled city, have special rules, which we're going to discuss. But now he's discussing houses that are in a non-walled city, such as Tel Aviv. I don't know, whatever non-walled city you have. So
there's only one walled city, and that's all Jerusalem.
Nowadays, sort of, yeah. We'll see. If there's currently a wall, it goes whether there was a wall at a certain time in history, which we'll see later. But the houses in an unwalled city basically go in the same laws as a field that's an ancestrally inherited field. Kolomar sheishlam gula al korcho shelokeach, which is that you can redeem them even if the purchaser does not want to sell them back. So it says in the pasuk that they shall have a redemption, meaning that if you sell a house in an unwalled city and you want to buy it back before the Yovel, you know, in other words, if you waited to the Yovel, then the house would just come back to you automatically. But let's say you want to buy it back before the Yovel, and the purchaser says, wait a minute, I still have 5 years to go before the Yovel. I don't want to sell it back to you now. I want to wait till the Yovel, and I'll just give it back to you. So the purchaser, the seller, the original ancestral owner of this house, has the right to reacquire the house, even if the person to whom he sold it does not want to sell it back. He says, sorry, I'm taking back my house, and he has to pay the difference in price. So if he sold it for, let's say there were 10 years until the Yovel, and he sold it for $100. So then if he wants to buy it back after 5 years, so he has to pay the purchaser back $50. Okay? The yofe kochan misados, sheinigolen afilu tochshana kedin bayis be'are choma. And they're stronger than fields in a way that they could even be redeemed within 1 year. So there is a halacha that, again, in the original order, he told you already, but we haven't quite learned yet, which is that you're not allowed to, if you sell a field, again, going back, we're not talking about houses now, but going back to the original thing that we were talking about before, which is fields. And if you sell a field, so then you are not allowed to reacquire it. We said you could reacquire it at any point until the Yovel. You just have to pay the difference in price, except for the first 2 years. The first 2 years you sell it, you are not allowed to reacquire it. Okay? So that's not the case by the houses, even though the houses in an unwalled city can go back in the Yovel, and they can be redeemed anytime. They do not have this restriction that the houses could be redeemed even within 2 years. They don't have this limitation. which is the same as this, in this aspect of it, it has the same din as a house in a walled city. That Mesevra Chinuch says, V'din bate arechoma meforesh bakosu, but it says explicitly in the Chumash, what about a house in a walled city? We pointed it out above. Again, we didn't learn it yet, but to summarize, the law of a house in a walled city is that if you sell it, it can be redeemed only within a year. And if you don't redeem it within a year, you're out of luck. It becomes completely the purchaser's, and it does not even return to you in the Yovel year. So that's why you have the halacha of a field, which is, again, that it goes back in the Yovel, and you can redeem it any time, but not in the first 2 years. And you have the din, polar opposite, of a house in a walled city, which can only be redeemed within the first year, and if you don't redeem it, it does not come back to you in the Yovel. And then you have something in the middle, which is a house in an unwalled city, which returns in the Yovel and can be redeemed any time, even within the first 2 years. V'me'inyan ha-mitzvah also. Now, when you read Parshas Bahar, you sort of think in the beginning, you sort of tune it out, you know, like, what, the house or this field? Ah, whatever, you know, you don't really, this isn't really relevant to me. Some houses, some sort of fields. So now, when you read Parshas Bahar, you'll understand what it's talking about. So you have a problem. What happens if you sell your field? Again, going back to the fields, forget the houses for a second. You sell your field, and the new owner plants trees, fertilizes it, makes it a much more expensive and desirable field than the one you sold. So then what happens? In the Jubilee year, you get back your field. Thank you! All this money you spent on it. Thanks very much. I get it for free.
Can someone
make... So it says, it uses specifically the lushan of the sale of the house. So it says, only the sale returns to the lokeach, and not something new that was done to this land by the purchaser. Our sages tell us, "Gam kein shamocher sadehu bein zdeachuzos zdeacher ein rashe legalo lefachos mishtei shanim." That you're not allowed to redeem a field, whether it's a zdeachuz or a different type of field, that would the other field would not return in the oval necessarily, but you would still be allowed to be goel it. You would still be allowed to redeem it, to return it to yourself. So you're not allowed to redeem it unless 2 years have elapsed since the sale. Vafilu birtzon halokeach, even if the purchaser says, sure, within 2 years, sure, I don't mind selling it back to you. I'd like to sell it back to you. Why not? So in such a case, the purchaser would in fact not be allowed to do that. And it's an absolute rule that you're not allowed to redeem the field within 2 years. Mm-hmm. That the Torah says that the sale has to be valid for at least 2 years. Shenemar, with the number of two harvests, he shall sell to you. Hazhar lamocher. That means that you shouldn't that you must sell for at least the 2 year period. Absolutely. Hazhar lalokeach midichseb mispar shanim. It says, tikna, that you shall purchase for a certain number of years, meaning two, than the one that was already mentioned, umiut shanim shnayim. So it says the minimum number of shanim, plural of years, is two. So why does this make sense? If both agree to nullify the transaction, so why does the Torah say, sorry, you have to keep the transaction going for 2 years, even though neither of you want it? Why? What's the point?
It's explicit in the Torah?
Yeah, he just brought the two psukim. You shouldn't think that there's a return policy over here. That before you sell land in Eretz Yisrael, again, you're supposed to be in love with the land of Eretz Yisrael, you don't want to part with it. So if God says that the sale must be for 2 years at least, you're going to be very hesitant to sell it. If you say, hey, you know, I'm a little strapped for cash now, but I might get a little more money, you know, in a week, So I'll sell my field, and then I'll say to the, you know, the purchaser, hey, I'm here to goel it. I'm here to redeem it. Sorry, I want my field back. So it's just you use it as like an insurance policy. You get the money when you want it. Yeah, like and you. So in order to avoid that, so that you should be, it should be difficult for you to sell your land. God says no, 2 year minimum. So he should know yeda. So he should know that he's not going to be able to enjoy this land for at least 2 years after the sale. So he should be very hesitant and really only sell when it's necessary. That's why it's not dependent on whether the parties agree to it or not. God wants to make a certain gravity about the sale of land in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, this is decreed that you have to sell the land for 2 years. So he put the Sefer Chinuch uses the lashon over here of miyom liyom me'is hamechira. So you might think, what's 2 years? What, in a lot of situations in the Torah, when you have a certain number of years, so even a part of the year counts. So for Orla, for example, so for that the tree has to be 3 years old before you eat its fruit. So if you plant the tree 2 months before Rosh Hashanah, certain amount of time before Rosh Hashanah, so that counts as a year. The next Rosh Hashanah counts as a year for Orla, and then maybe the next Tu B'Shvat, the Rosh Hashanah to Tu B'Shvat, also counts as a whole year. So maybe, yeah, so maybe your whole Orla, which you call 3 years, in certain situations might only be a year, like a year and a half, yeah. So the different sheet is about exactly how to calculate it, but nevertheless, it's not the way it says over here. But here, it needs to be 2 years miyom liyom. It needs to be 2 years after the date that you sold the item, which is if you sold the item on the 3rd of Nisan, so it will come back to you on the 3rd of Nisan 2 years later. I mean, if you are goalit, but that's the minimum amount of time. The Gam Amru Zichron Levracha. The sages tell us Gam Kein Shetzorach Sheyochal Halokech Shtei Sevuos Beosan Shtei Shanim, that these 2 years have to be years in which the purchaser can enjoy the land. He has to eat two harvests. That's because it says in the pasuk. Wow. Remember, he just said before, "B'mispar shnei tivuos yim kolach." It says instead of expressing it as 2 years, the Torah expresses it as two harvests.
Ah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So he says that shneimar shnei tivuos, right? Lefikach imaisa achas mishtei shanim elu shnas shidafon v'yeirakon. If one of these 2 years was a famine that year, shnas shvius or a shmita year where you can't harvest it, so that doesn't count towards the 2 years. So if you sell your land the year before a shmita, so in essence the minimum amount of time will be 3 years, because the shmita year doesn't count towards the 2 year requirement. Eino olam min haminyan, aval shana bura. Let's say a stupid year, right? That's what shana bura means. Bura means an ignoramus. Really? That's not what it means. But shana bura means a year that you do not plant it. If the purchaser just decided not to plant it, he wanted to leave the field fallow. So that does not count. That does not count as nullifying the year, and it would count towards the sum of 2 years. So, right, that wouldn't make sense, right? Because then you just leave it fallow for 10 years, and then the guy says, hey, I want my field back. Two more years. No. Now he starts planting. Really got to hold on to it for 10 years. No, that's not right. So it has to be a natural or halachic occurrence that prevents the field from being used, and then that would not count towards the years, the 2 years. Right, so a fallow year counts. So the whole length of the Jubilee year, if you sell a field, it doesn't count. It, like, imagine the money bouncing back. Here, I'd like to pay you, Mr. Birnbaum, I'd like to pay you $50 for your field. The money, like, halachically bounces back. It doesn't even hit her hand. It's like her hand is rubber during the Jubilee year. The entire time of that year, you cannot conduct the purchase of the field. Right. But what happens if you don't sell the actual land, but you sell the trees? So this is similar to your case of just buying the house and not buying the land. But I guess in Halacha, the house is more closely tied into the land than the trees. But if you just buy the trees and not the land surrounding, underneath, whatever, ein nigalin lefachos mishtei shanim, and they, that counts that they as land that they, you would not be able to buy it back until 2 years have elapsed. But just the trees would not return to you in the Yovel if you sold just the trees. Those would stay in the hands of the purchaser forever. It says by the Yovel you should go back to your inheritance. So the trees are not an intrinsic part of the inheritance, but only the land.
Trees that are not planted somewhere.
You can eat the fruit. You don't own the land, but the person who purchases them will maintain perpetual rights to eat the fruit, or to cut down the tree for wood, if that's mutter, yeah. So let's say you have multiple customers over here. The Rishon L'Sheni, V'Sheni L'Shlishi, you have three customers. You sold your field to a first buyer, then a second buyer, then a third buyer. V'afilu Me'o Yosef, even 100, and so the Choseres V'Yovel L'Rishon. So by the Yovel, you get your field back, the original owner. That it's in your proper portion of Eretz Yisrael. This is all discussed in the last part of Maseches Erchin, which has a lot of interesting things in it, not just about Arachin, not just about the, which we'll discuss soon in the Sefer Chinuch in a few mitzvahs from now, which is when you pledge a value of a person to the Beis HaMikdash, or something, or a field, another object. So that has a lot of interesting things. We have the laws of Lashon Hara in that Masechta, which maybe we should have a shir in Erchin. You know, it's not it's an interesting, really has interesting stuff in it besides just the subject matter that's the title of the Masechta. This applies to males and females in Eretz Yisrael bizman sheyoshveh aleha, at a time when the Jewish people live in Eretz Yisrael. Ki kol inyanei ha-yovel einam ela bizman sheyoshveh aleha. That the Yovel only applies in a time where the Jewish people are living in Eretz Yisrael in the proper manner, which each tribe separately, etc. If you violated this and you sold your field forever, you both receive the penalty of lashes. And again, it doesn't work. If you say, here, I want you to buy my field forever. Great, I'm going to buy your field forever. So you transact, you conduct the proper transaction. It doesn't work that this, the field will return to the owner, the original owner in the Yovel, but nevertheless you receive the penalty of lashes because that's how this mitzvah works. That doing the appearances of a transaction, even though it doesn't work, is the mitzvah. Mm-hmm. If you just orally conducted the transaction, then that would not be significant. That's the Rambam holds. That's the Rambam zichron al bracha. Ein b'zeh malkus klal. The Ramban says this is not subject to Malkos, kamo shekosavti b'rosha mitzvah. So he didn't write that in the Rosha mitzvah in the beginning. He just said that the Ramban has a different shita, that you shouldn't, that this mitzvah means that you shouldn't sell the land in Eretz Yisrael to Goyim. And we discussed how that could be possible, what that might be referring to. But what does that have to do with Malkos, whether you get Malkos or not? So the Minchas Chinuch also doesn't understand what's going on. But the Minchas Chinuch also points out that the opinion of Rashi, actually, is different from both the Rambam and the Ramban, and he holds that this mitzvah is a particular mitzvah that, even though we have a positive commandment that you're supposed to return the land to the original owner in the Yovel, the Rashi holds that this mitzvah that just says lo simacher litzmisos, that this should not be sold eternally, is simply to add a negative commandment to strengthen the requirement to return it. It's basically the same as the mitzvah to return the land in the Yovel, but it just it's a nitak la'ase, that it's connected to the mitzvah to return the land, and basically just be punished extra if you violate it. Not only will you be punished for violating a positive commandment to return the land, but you'll be subject to a negative commandment as well, that you treated the land as if it could be sold forever. That's what Rashi holds this means. Yeah. So the Minchas Zich also says that, according to Rashi, that this would also be in addition to the prohibition of Gezel, which is stealing the land, because even if you physically do not return it to the original owner at the Yovel, lemaisa halachically, it's not yours anymore. So in the future. Mitzvah Shin Mem, 340. Mitzvah Hashavas Karka Levalei and Biyovel. So this is the positive commandment that one should return the land to one, the original owner, in the Jubilee year. Lashiv kol hakarkaos bein bayis osada v'kerem u'pardesin b'shnasa yovel v'alein below kesu below mechir. So you have to return all lands, whether it's a house or a field or a vineyard or an orchard, in the Jubilee year to the original owner without any money. That is to completely free. You just give it back. In all the land of your inheritance, you shall give a redemption to the land. All Eretz Yisrael, Geulati Nularetz, it should be redeemed back to the original owner.
Doesn't happen just by default. I mean, you actually have to like give him a title to the land or vacate it or you know.
I mean, the ownership reverts by default, but this Mrs. Tain, you have to act in accordance with that.
Right.
That you have to vacate, exactly. Right. That if you were, you know, on Erev Rosh Hashanah of the Yovel year, so you were harvesting your grapes calmly, and then the original owner of the vineyard comes and says, hey, you know, on Rosh Hashanah night, you know, what are you doing? Oh, you can't be harvesting grapes. Okay, Rosh Hashanah. Okay, you're not allowed. But the, hey, you're still hanging out. Maybe he's just hanging out, eating all the grapes that he just harvested, you know, in the field on Rosh Hashanah. So he's like, hey, what are you doing? You're having your dinner in my field. Oh, whoops. So that's not good. He said, oh, the time passed. Oh, you have to give track and you have to vacate and you have to treat the land in the manner that is going back to the original owner. So what's redemption? That means the land goes back to the original owner. And this Jubilee year, each person should go back to the original land that they inherited. That you have to keep in mind that God is the true owner of the land, and you should not be too attached to your material possessions in this world. And recognize God's kingship and ownership. So some of the rules of this are explicit in the Pasuk. So what happens when you sold in the land and you want to redeem it sooner than the Yovel? Kodem Shnas Yovel. So there's a difference between selling a house in a walled city and an unwalled city. An unwalled city is called in the Torah Areya Chatzerim, the courtyard cities. Shadin Bati Arei Prazos Kedin Asodos. So more or less, a house in a unwalled city is treated like a field, and it goes back to the owner in the Jubilee year. But a house in a walled city that it can return only during the first year that it's sold, and not thereafter. So the houses in a walled city must be redeemed within the year, or they completely remain in the possession of the new owner forever. They do not go back in the Jubilee year. So what happens if you sold your house in a walled city to someone, and then to a second, that person to a second, a third, and whatever. So when do you count the first year? You can only be redeemed within 1 year. So do you count from each sale, or do you count only from the first one? Monin l'rishon, v'cheven sheshal masheni l'rishon huchlad abayis l'sheni. Even though, let's say, I sold my house in a walled city to Mrs. Birnbaum on the 3rd of Nisan, and then she sells the house to Mrs. Hirsch on the 3rd of Iyar, a month later. So on the 3rd of Nisan, if I, the original owner, I could redeem my house from Mrs. Hirsch. But if I didn't redeem it by the 3rd of Nisan the following year, so Mrs. Hirsch gets it forever, even though she did not buy it a year ago. She bought it only 11 months ago. She bought it on the 3rd of Iyar. Because it goes by the first sale from the original owner, not by any subsequent sale. Mipnei she'inyan mocher bayis bevatei arechoma shehu muchlat l'shana. Why? Why did God say this? That if you sell a house in a walled city, so after a year and you didn't buy it back, it remains in the possession of the new owner forever. Why? Kinyan knasu, it's like a penalty. She knasa Torah, kansa Torah, lemocher mipnei chibas haaretz. That the Torah is penalizing someone who's. How could you sell your house in a walled city? We know that walled cities are the best place for Jewish to, they were the Jewish people to live. It's, first of all, they have a great Eruv, and very convenient. And walled cities are like the Spitz Kedusha. They're the cities of Eretz Yisrael that you could, and to own a house in a walled city was so wonderful. So,
at that time, especially, walled cities were considered secure from attack or so on.
Yeah, yeah. So you have to think really carefully before selling a house in a walled city, that you know that once you sell it, the clock starts ticking. So since you're supposed to love Eretz Yisrael so much, you should be really hesitant. And Guy wanted to penalize you if you sold a house in a walled city in Eretz Yisrael. So if, too bad, you waited more than a year to buy your house back, too bad, it belongs to the other guy forever. So we wanted to penalize you for selling your house in a walled city. So he's going back to the reasoning that why Mrs. Hirsch should get the house permanently, even though she bought the house less than a year ago, is because that when Mrs. Birnbaum sells the house to Mrs. Hirsch, so she basically transfers her whole stake in the house. So part of Mrs. Birnbaum's stake in the house was that on the 3rd of Nisan, the next year, she was going to get it permanently. So when she sells the house to Mrs. Hirsch, so Mrs. Hirsch gets that stake as well, even though she did not physically possess the house for a full year. And again, if it restarted every time it was sold, then that would not be a sufficient penalty for the original owner who sold it. That he knows, he has to know that when he sells the house, he has a year to buy it back, no matter who gets it. Mm-hmm. No matter who was sold down the line, he must redeem it within a year. But if the clock started ticking, then he might say, well, you know, I hope that, you know, it's I know that the person I sold it to is a little strapped for cash sometimes. So maybe she's going to sell the house, and then the clock will keep starting, and I'll really have a year and a half.
Yeah.
Or maybe she's making, she has to make the person I sold has to make a wedding or something. I know that's going to be in half a year, so I know I really am going to. They're going to need to sell the house in half a year from now to pay for the wedding. So I know I'm going to have a year and a half to get the house back. So that doesn't work. No, it goes by when you sold it a year after that. Umash Amru Zichron Lebracha Gam Kain Shein Igia Shim Igia Yom Shnei Masar Chodesh Velo Nimtza Lokeach. Lifdos menu. Oh, what if you have a problem? I sell my house. So I sell my land to Mrs. Hirsch on the 3rd of Nisan, and I want to. Then it comes the 2nd of Nisan the following year, and I'm desperately, frantically looking for Mrs. Hirsch so I can pay for my house. I want to buy it back, which is my entitlement. But Mrs. Hirsch is on vacation in Switzerland.
All right.
She's in the Alps. So I she's not. Right. So we don't know. I don't know where she is. I'm frantically knocking on her door in her apartment door, and I can't find her. She's nowhere to be found. So what does that mean? So she. That's a good eitzah. You have your Oibra Chacham. Yeah, skip town, and the guy's not going to be able to find you, and then you get the house permanently.
It should be possible to go to Basin and to take your...
Oh, excellent! Yes, that's exactly what he says.
He's good.
Harizem aniach bevezdin. That's exactly what you do. Right. 100% right. Good. V'shover es hadeles v'nichnas leveso. So you go to Beis Din, you say, I can't find the person to my soul, I want to redeem my land. Here's the Beis Din, you a record, I'm redeeming it now.
Uh-huh.
And then you go to your house, but your keys now are now in the hands of Mrs. Hirsch in Switzerland, so I can't get the keys. So I break down the door. I have a right to break down the door and go into my house, because I have a perfect right to buy it back at this point in time.
But do you have the right
to proceed? So Mrs. Hirsch comes home from Switzerland. So she is going to go to the Beis Din, and she's going to come to her house that she bought for, which she thought was her house, but now it's my house again. So she's going to come, and she's going to find the door, smashed in. Right, maybe. And she's going to say, what's going on? What's going on? I'm going to be sitting there in the house. We're going to be, reading a book. And what are you doing in my house? Oh, that's right. You bought your house back. Where's my money? Oh, it's at this Beis Din, and she's going to go to the Beis Din, and she's going to pick up her money.
Okay.
So if the Yovel comes in the middle of this year after you've sold a house in a walled city, so the Yovel has nothing to do with this. It does not return in the Yovel, even if it's within the year. Eladina kemo bishar shnanim shebesoch shnei Yovel shunechal l'shana v'imein hamocher rotze l'gola. So it's the same thing. Yovel has no effect whatsoever on a house that's sold in a walled city. And what if you sell a house in an unwalled city? That if you want to redeem a house in an unwalled city, you're allowed to do that immediately. You don't have to wait 2 years like in a field. But it doesn't have the stricture of a house in a walled city that you have to redeem it within a year. So that, in other words, it has the advantages for the seller, both of a walled city house and the field. It has it's good for the seller, the original owner, because he is allowed to buy it back at any time, and he also doesn't have, even within the first year or two, and he doesn't have the restriction that he can only do it within the first year.
As a practical consideration, would it be expected at this point that we once again would revert to a situation in which we actually build walls around cities, or technically, let's say, an Eruv wire to designate it instead of an actual wall in order to comply with these regulations?
An Eruv wire would not work for this.
It's too big.
An Eruv wire would not work for this. It would have to be an actual wall. An Eruv wire only works vis-a-vis Hilchos Shabbos.
As a symbolic situation.
Yeah, but it wouldn't work.
The actual wall.
But there's no mitzvah to build a walled city. If in the time when we're next redeemed and everybody, all the Shvatim are back and everything's all wonderful and reverts to the way that everybody lives in the parts of Eretz Yisrael that they're supposed to live in, there's no mitzvah to build a walled city. If there are no walled cities, there are no walled cities.
So this consideration, would we expect that once again we would
No, I wouldn't
start
expect
building
that.
Walls around cities?
I mean, it's great for an Eruv, like I said, but it's
a gated community.
Right, that's all right. So I wouldn't think so. I think the cities would remain the way they're built nowadays, and this law just wouldn't apply. There's no this law doesn't have to apply anywhere. It would apply in Yerushalayim, it would apply in, you know. But it wouldn't, since it has a wall already, but it wouldn't, I would expect that this law would not apply very much in the...
Would it apply to the chutzos Yerushalayim?
That's a good question, because we know for many circumstances, so places that are outside the wall of Yerushalayim are joined together with Yerushalayim, like, for example, that they celebrate Purim on the 15th of Adar. They celebrate Shushan Purim, even though you're not actually in a place that's surrounded by a wall. Then you, since it's close enough, it's a samuch venira is what it's called. That it's viewed as a part of the city, and it's treated as a part of the city. All the, you know, the inyanim of the city are all together. So then you celebrate. There's a question also in certain parts of New Yerushalayim. How far is too far? Ramot.
Yes.
It's very far from Yerushalayim, even according to in the olden days. I think nowadays it's pretty accepted that Harnof is now, you definitely celebrate Purim on the 15th, but Harnof was also originally a question. So, but I don't think this would apply. For this rule, it would have to be actually inside the wall of the city. Okay, so the Umasha Amru, Shekol Shu Lifnim Min Achoma, anything, again, that's inside the wall, Kigon ginos merchatzos v'shovachos dinam kebatim. So what about other things that are inside the wall, such as gardens, bathhouses, and places to raise birds? So what would be the rule for that? They would be like houses. D'minichsiv asher ba'ir. It says in the pasuk, ha'bayis asher ba'ir asher lo choma. That it has to be in the city. So it says anything that's in the city, riba hakol. There's mamish a field. That's a little strange, but there's mamish a field in the city, then that would not count. That would not be considered like a house. It would be considered like a regular field. It says it has to be a house. So it says, on the one hand, habayis, then it says asher bayir. So one sounds like it has to be davka house. One sounds like it can be anything within the city. It has to be anything like a house, but it cannot be a field. So even if it be an orchard, but certainly a bathhouse or a place where you raise birds would count as a house in a walled city for these purposes, but not if you own a city in the a field in the middle of the walled city. Okay, so we'll continue. It's a shame next time.